This is Derek Bros. This is Derek Bros of the Conscious Resistance. I'm here in Standing Rock.
That man is wanted in 5 different countries: Chile, Argentina, Brazil.
We've been fighting a long time. We've all lost so very much. So many loved ones gone.
Don't you fucking tease that horse!
You are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink.
Fucking hell!
Above all, stay alive. You have no idea how important.
We're faced with a very serious situation in this generation. There are insane people who wish to rule the world. They wish to continue to rule the world on violence and repression. And we are all the victims of that violence and repression. We, as the indigenous people of the Western Hemisphere, have been resisting this violence and this oppression for 500 years. We know that the black people have been resisting it for at least that long. And we know that the white people have had to endure it thousands of years. And now it's come full swing to this generation that we live in, nuclearization of the world. You see, this cannot be, we cannot allow this to continue to go on. We cannot do it. You see, and we cannot expect that the pro-nuclear oppressor, that other side, we cannot expect that they're going to change for us. They are going to become more brutal. They're going to become more repressive. We are power, but they have separated us from our spiritual connection to the earth, so people feel powerless. We look at the oppressor and we look at the enemy because they have the most guns and the most lies and the most money. People start to feel powerless. We are power. We are a natural part of the creation. We were put here on this sacred Mother Earth to serve a purpose. Somehow we are betraying our purpose here, and that is why we live in the confusion that we live in. They tell us, they want us to believe that we are powerless. We are a natural part of the earth. We are an extension of that natural energy which is spirit and which is power. Power. A blizzard is power. An earthquake is power. A tornado is power. These are all things of power that no oppressor, no machine age can put these things of power in a prison. No machine age can make these things of power submit to the machine age. That is natural power. And just as it takes millions and billions of elements to make a blizzard to happen, or to make the earthquake, to make the earth to move, then it's going to take millions and billions of us. We are power. We have that power. We have the potential for that power. I remember in the 60s and the 70s, and I heard all this thing about power to the people, and I never really understood, because everyone was saying power to the people, and they were talking about demonstrator, they were talking about vote. They were talking about dealing on the terms of the oppressor. Our power will come back to us. Our sense of balance will come back to us when we go back to the natural way of protecting and honoring the earth. If we have forgotten how to do it, and if we think that it looks overwhelming and we can never accomplish it, then all we have to do, and each of us as an individual can go out and we can find some spot on the earth that we could relate to. Feel that energy. Feel that power. That's where our safety will come. The earth will take care of us. We have to understand that the American corporate state will not take care of us. They do not care about us. Maximize their profit. That is where their whole life value is placed upon, maximize the profit. They will turn us against each other to maximize the profit, because they have done it in the past. That is war, and they are waging it against us. They bribe Congress. They bribe your elected officials. They terrorize and intimidate your elected officials by getting the FBI to blackmail them. Those are acts of war. We will have to come to a time in our lifetime, and it will come in our lifetime, when we are going to have to deal with the fact that the enemy has taken over your government. The government is not your ally. The government will use you, chew you up, and spit you out. You think that we are wrong? You think that we are talking unrealistically? Then go look at your elders and see what has happened to your elders in your machine age society. See what kind of respect that they get. See what kind of a voice they are allowed into your society, what kind of input they have.
Hey everyone, this is Derek Bros with the Conscious Resistance Network, and today is Friday, November 13, 2020. This is episode 116 of the Conscious Resistance Live, titled Vaccines for Concerts, Vatican Sex Abuse, and Biden's Task Force. We'll be covering all of that and more tonight. I'll be with you guys for the next hour or so as I cover important news. We are definitely going to be doing some coronavirus updates. I've been trying really to focus on other stories that are extremely important. And some of the things we're going to be talking about are stories that are definitely not getting enough coverage. So I hope that you guys will stay tuned for that. And also a special treat for tonight's episode. For those of you who stick around for the whole episode, some of you know I've been working on a documentary. Some of you might know that I produce documentaries. I've produced about a dozen or so documentaries now with my buddy Jeremy Martin, who is based in the UK. And we are working on a documentary series that we've already done crowdfunding. Thank you to everybody who's supported us through crowdfunding. It is called The Pyramid of Power. If you go to theconsciousresistance.com, which is our website, you click on this docs page right here, you can see our most recent mini documentary, The Darkest Winter. We have one on The Great Reset. You can see the trailer for The Pyramid of Power series. You can see my full-length documentaries, The 5G Trojan Horse and Who Will Find What the Finders Hide, as well as my 2018 documentary, Bringing Down Jeffrey Epstein. We have The Modern Surveillance State. And I also just added this one recently. This is a documentary actually about my work. If you're curious what the conscious resistance is, what I mean by that, how we combine spirituality and the search for spiritual meaning and consciousness expansion with anarchism, with self-governance, self-ownership, watch that documentary. I really think you guys will enjoy that. And we've also got a few others going all the way back to 2014. So if you want to check out documentaries, if you're ever looking for something to watch, check us out there. And tonight, at the end of this episode, I will be showing the first 5 to 7 minutes of my brand new documentary series of the first episode. So it's called The Pyramid of Power. It's going to be a 13-part documentary series that we're going to start releasing in January. And I can't quite tell you where it's going to be coming out on, but I'm excited because we're going to be partnering with some really cool people to get it out there. But it's going to focus on, as it sounds, the pyramid of power, understanding the power systems, the control systems for the banking system, education, media, et cetera, and looking at each of these pieces and how they form this overarching pyramid of power. And asking from an objective perspective, is this really conspiracy theory or is there truth or is it just paranoia? And so each episode is going to be about 20 to 22 minutes long and it'll be released every Friday once it starts coming out and you'll be able to watch all 13 episodes. So tonight at the end of this episode, stay tuned. I will show you the first 5 minutes exclusively to everybody who hangs out for the entire episode. And if you didn't catch the website, if you want to bookmark my work, visit theconsciousresistance.com. theconsciousresistance.com. If you do so, you can find all of the alternative social networks that I use. I use a bunch of them, and these are the only ones that I'm focused on right now. You can find us on Float, that's FLOTE.app, Minds, that's this little light bulb, Hive, you can join my text list right here, which I highly recommend. You can join our Telegram channel if you're on Telegram. You can join our library channel, or also library has another website called Odyssey that some of you may have seen. It's basically just a blockchain-based video platform. I highly recommend it. And then BitChute as well. And then if you want to support, you can do so on Patreon. So those are all the places you can find my work. But if you sign up for the email newsletter and you sign up for the text list and you bookmark the website, you're always going to get my content no matter whatever happens to me on social media. And the final sort of house cleaning thing that I want to mention is tonight we are streaming actually through theconsciousresistance.com. I know many of you guys are watching through Facebook right now, but we're also live on DLive. Shout out to everybody who's on DLive. Let me see what we got going on there. We got about 30 people on DLive right now and some people sharing Alex Jones memes, so that's cool. And we got our friends over there on Float, and I'm happy to have all of you guys. But also, if you go to theconsciousresistance.com/live, you can watch live through our website right here. Just come here and click the play button. And you can bring some traffic to our website and support us directly as opposed to supporting Facebook or some other platform. So check that out if you're interested. And like I said, we're going to cover a number of important stories. We're going to get into some coronavirus updates. Before I do that, though, I do want to recommend one more thing, and then we'll really dive in. If you haven't seen, I know I produce a lot of content every week, guys. I've written 2 articles this week. I've released one video every day this week, so 5 videos this week, plus a video that I'm about to share with you from Ben Swan's platform, ice.media. Those of you who are familiar with Ben Swan's work, he's a great journalist. I've been working with him since 2012, and I wrote for his website for a couple of years. And now I'm one of the latest contributors to join the ice.media platform. And so I put out a new video this week. In addition to my 5 videos on the conscious resistance and my 2 articles for The Last American Vagabond, I also produced this video. It is about 17 minutes long, and it's on ice.media. That's ise.media.
and you can go see it on the front page. And it's called Should the Public Be Paid to Take a COVID-19 Vaccine? And this is another alternative to YouTube, alternative Facebook platform. This video is only on this website. I haven't posted it anywhere else. So if you want to see my work there, go to ise.media, check out this. And I think you're going to want to see this. And I asked that question, should the public be paid to take a COVID-19 vaccine? Not as a rhetorical question, but as an actual question, because these are questions that are being put forth in the mainstream right now. There are mainstream medical journals and publications floating the idea that maybe we should incentivize the people by paying them. And I don't want to ruin that report, but if you go watch that report, you'll see that the particular study that said maybe we should pay people, it also talked about people should lose freedoms, people's healthcare should go up, people should be fined if they don't get vaccines. So it's like, let's play nice and offer them some money or try to incentivize them in some way. But if they don't play along, well, then let's just take away their freedoms. Let's just fine them. Let's do whatever. And I mean, I've been covering this. One of my most watched reports in the last couple of weeks, I've noticed, has been my report on the CDC's document about quarantine camps and isolation camps. And I actually had some people critical of me and saying that I was lying, that it was, that's not what it claimed. But I have actually found even more information. I'm going to save that report for next week. I'm not going to do that one on tonight's show. But if you think I was lying or maybe misunderstanding this whole CDC quarantine camp, isolation camp, if you don't think those are real, I know that many of you have seen the evidence of them happening in Australia and New Zealand and Canada. It is happening in the United States as well. I don't know if they're already built or if they're planning on building them later. There's plenty of structures that could be used like in an emergency like that. Like in Houston, where I'm from, whenever there's hurricanes, all of a sudden the stadiums become places to house people. You could easily see a situation where they use stadiums or maybe Walmarts or people's houses. This document talks about, you know, on one level, you could be quarantined your own house. But then if you're a higher risk, you have to be quarantined in like the neighborhood community center or whatever. And then if it's, you're even worse, then you got to go to the regional camp or center. So that's, you know, that's what they're talking about. So we'll be covering that in the coming week, but let's go ahead and start with our first important story. And that is Donald Trump and Operation Warp Speed. Guys, I've spent a lot of time over the last 4 years trying to focus on exposing the crimes of Donald Trump, not because I have Trump derangement syndrome and an orange man bad, because, you know, there's a couple of things that Trump has done that I can say those are probably better than worse. But as a journalist, I've stayed objective and I can see that Trump does not present an extremely large change from everything else that we've been dealing with prior to this. I know a lot of you are like, oh, he's not a politician or whatever. But when you really look at the facts and you don't look at his tweets and you don't look at his outbursts, and also you don't pay attention to the left-wing media that just kind of attacks him for BS things. Like sometimes they get it right, but they totally ignore the fact that Trump dropped more drone bombs than Obama. Nobody's talking about that. You know, all these different things that they could easily hit him on, they ignore, and they instead they, you know, try to interpret everything he does as racism. Like, I think the guy's a bigot. I think he's an idiot. I don't really like his personality at all. But even if I set that aside and I look at his actions, I can see just based on his actions alone, he is not on our side. And I know many of you are still holding on to that. But I've spent a lot of time exposing Trump's connections to big oil way back in 2016 when one of the first people Trump appointed was the former governor of Texas, which is, again, where I'm from, Rick Perry. And some of you who've been around for more than a year or two might remember that Rick Perry, former governor of Texas, who then became, I think, the head of the Department of Energy under Trump, he was a Bilderberg member. He'd attended Bilderberg several times. And this was something big that people in the alternative media, say, for example, Alex Jones, was calling out years ago. And then I did a video you can find on our website called The Silence from InfoWars is Deafening. And it was at the beginning of the Trump administration, basically saying, like, look, InfoWars, if they weren't already sold out, they're selling out here. Instead, you can go back and find these old articles about Rick Perry calling him a globalist, Bilderberg, whatever. And then after he gets appointed to the Trump administration, there's not even a mention of it. And so these kinds of I guess you could say discrepancies have shown up a lot over the Trump administration. So I, for those who think I'm just a Biden lover or a Hillary lover, or I'm just some leftist communist, you know, you can go down that road if you like, but we're going to stick with the facts. And what I want to address tonight is that today Donald Trump gave his first press conference since the 2020 US presidential soap opera election. And he didn't address the election at all, other than saying some kind of weird statement of like, well, if, you know, there won't be a lockdown if I'm in office, but, you know, maybe things will be different under a different administration, at least acknowledging for the first time publicly that he might not be there, which I think ultimately is what's going to happen. All his followers think there's going to be some big fight. I think it's just going to, he might make a big hubbub. He might not shake Biden's hand and people will make a big deal out of it. But I think ultimately the power will pass to Biden. But today, Trump, in this press conference, he was specifically speaking about the successes of Operation Warp Speed. And if you've been following my work, you've seen me, Ryan Christian from Last American Vagabond, and Whitney Webb from The Last American Vagabond and Unlimited Hangout, do extensive reporting and video reports and interviews about Operation Warp Speed, exposing that it is a military operation that is being run vastly. The vast majority of the people on the Operation Warp Speed kind of team are from the military, from the DOD. There are some civilians, there are some big pharma people. And I pointed out way back in May that when Trump launched Operation Warp Speed, that the head of Operation Warp Speed was a guy named Moncef Slaoui, who is a former executive with GlaxoSmithKline, which is a huge vaccine manufacturer, who have been sued for some of the problems associated with their vaccines. This guy also sits on the board of Moderna, who is one of the leading six candidates to develop the COVID-19 vaccine. And there's all these different conflicts of interest. I've covered this a lot in the past. If this is new to you, go to theconsciousresistance.com and search Operation Warp Speed, and you'll find some of my past reports. So we already know the problems with Operation Warp Speed, but today Donald Trump decides to give a press conference, and we're going to show you the clip. And so you can hear it in his own words. This is just a 1 minute and 21 second clip. It's been viewed 1.4 million times already. This is earlier today, 4 p.m. And listen to how proud and excited Trump seems about, oops, I gotta put the audio on. Trump seems about the vaccine. Does this sound like a man who is trying to protect people from vaccines? Now, granted, of course, you could say it's coming down to choice. This is what I've heard from a lot of his followers is, no, he's just doing that because he knows that a lot of people do want vaccines. And I literally had somebody tell me with a straight face today that this was 10D chess. And I thought, well, okay, I thought that we only said that when we make fun of those people. Now they're actually saying it. But I've had people say, no, he's just kind of playing saving face because he knows lots of people want vaccines and he doesn't want to turn them off. Or, no, he's doing this to catch big pharma. I mean, it's just BS. But okay, here we go. Check this clip. This is Donald Trump today, this afternoon, talking about the success of Operation Warp Speed and vaccines.
As a result of Operation Warp Speed, Pfizer announced on Monday that its China virus vaccine is more than 90% effective. This far exceeds any and all expectations. Nobody thought they'd get to that level. And we have others coming, which we think will be at equal level, maybe more if that's possible. In July, my administration reached an agreement with Pfizer to provide $1.95 billion to support the mass manufacturing and distribution of 100 million doses, with the option to purchase a total of 600 million doses shortly thereafter. Our investment will make it possible for the vaccine to be provided by Pfizer free of charge. Pfizer said it wasn't part of Warp Speed, but that turned out to be an unfortunate misrepresentation. They are part. That's why we gave them the $1.95 billion. And it was an unfortunate mistake that they made when they said that. We will work to secure an emergency use authorization, which should be coming down extremely soon. And my administration will then coordinate the distribution of the vaccine. And it will be approved. I think, again, it will be approved very, very quickly, we hope.
All right. So does that sound like the voice and the words of a man who is against the vaccine or is questioning the vaccine? Or I didn't even hear any mention of, like, by the way, you know, it's going to be voluntary. And this is the thing, is that so many people seem so desperate to believe that Trump is their savior, is going to protect them, that they look for any sort of pieces of something to latch onto and say, oh, but look, you know, this one time he kind of acknowledged that some people, not everybody's going to want it. And look, I mean, we know enough about Trump's personality that when he claims to stand for something, he does not mind getting on Twitter and tweeting a bunch about it. So if he feels so strongly, or if he had any principles of self-ownership and respect of bodily autonomy, don't you think he would be getting out on Twitter and just doing a tweet storm saying, I am going to stand for your self-ownership. I respect individual liberty. You will not be forced to take this vaccine if you don't want to. Why not come out strong and said, it's like, oh, look, this one time he acknowledged that some people won't want it. Okay, well, that's not saying that he's going to allow that. I mean, and the point is, he might not even be president if this whole Biden thing goes through. But I just want to get this into people's mind. And look, I hear the arguments about Biden might be worse. We're going to get into Biden. Trust me, I've got a Biden article coming up. But at the end of the day, I think Trump is worse in some ways because he tricked a lot of right-wing people who were awake and pushing back against the things that Obama are doing. When Trump was coming for, you know, saying that you got to take the guns and then you can, you know, do the check afterwards. He supported red flag laws. He said you got to get the shots when it came to the measles vaccine a year or two ago. You know, in a lot of ways, he just continued the same traditions. Biden will be worse, but that's just because things get progressively worse. Bush, Obama, Trump, Biden, you know, it's just going to keep getting worse as long as we keep supporting and voting and electing, you know, lesser of two evils. Things are just going to gradually get worse. So I want to show you guys a couple more clips here now as we continue this look at what Trump has actually said. And again, that's the goal I'm trying to get here, is to show you what has Trump actually said, not what he tweeted back in 2015, whenever he said that, you know, vaccines cause autism or something like that, but what he's actually saying now. So one of the other instances I've seen his supporters point out is this. This was in September, when Scott Atlas, who's, you know, was recently added to the Trump coronavirus task force, and you see the title, it says Trump confirms vaccines for COVID not mandatory. But when you watch this 4-minute video, that is not at all what happens. For one, Trump doesn't say anything about the vaccines being mandatory or not mandatory or anything. It is this guy, Scott Atlas, that you're looking at there, the new kind of coronavirus task force guy, that actually says it. So I'm going to play you this clip here and then just listen to what he says. And again, though, once again, you can see how people are sort of, they're just like grasping for straws. The guy doesn't come out strong and say, look, we're going to stand up for bodily autonomy. The Trump administration is against forcing vaccines. He basically throws in one sentence and then the supporters just latch onto that one sentence. So check this out.
The people who are in the prioritized list of including high risk, including first responders, will have the ability to take the vaccine. No one's being mandated to be vaccinated.
So that was it right there. Did you guys hear that? Let's just go back one more time. He's describing how the vaccine is going to be distributed. This is back in September, though.
Responders will have the ability to take the vaccine. No one's being mandated to be vaccinated.
So that's it. No one's being mandated. That was from, yes, it did come from the Trump administration, but see, the title says Trump confirms. Trump didn't say anything. It was Scott Atlas, who again is part of his coronavirus task force. But that was just one line. Why isn't that, if that's the policy, why isn't that being promoted? Why isn't it being put out in Front Street that, hey, we're going to protect people's individual liberty? Now, let me give you one more example that just popped up in the day, literally the day before the election, which is not mysterious at all. Somebody shared this to me and they said, hey, look, you're ragging on Trump, but look at this. Trump actually said people will not be enforced. The vaccine, coronavirus vaccine, won't be enforced. So I looked it up, and this is from The Independent in the UK. Trump claims coronavirus vaccine would not be enforced on all Americans if he wins re-election. And, you know, it's an interesting title, right? And it kind of claims one thing or another. Let's just read it, look into what it actually says. Donald Trump says a coronavirus vaccine would not be enforced as mandatory for all Americans if he wins the second term. During one of his final 2020 election cycle campaign rallies, this one in Michigan, the president claimed his general election foe, former president, Vice President Joe Biden, would turn the entire country into a, quote, prison state and would deploy a vaccine if he is elected on Tuesday. And so that's all it says. Like, there's no direct quote from Trump. And so I was like, okay, at first when somebody shared this to me, this Trump supporter, I said, oh, dang, I guess you got me, man. Look, he did actually say it. But still, he said it the night before the election. Isn't that convenient? Why wait till the night before the election to come out and say, oh, by the way, I'm not going to make it mandatory, if you really felt that way? So I thought that was politically convenient. But then at the same time, I was like, well, let me go find out what Trump really said. So again, all it says is during one of his final campaign rallies in Michigan, he claimed this. So I wasted my time. I mean, hopefully it's not a waste because I did it to inform you guys, but I went through the excruciating pain of watching 3 hours of Trump rallies, because Trump apparently spoke in three different places in Michigan on this day. And I wanted to find this quote. I wanted to see, is there an exact quote where Trump says that he's not going to have the vaccine mandated? And so this is what I found. This is all I could find. Here's the part where he says something about Biden building a prison state. The rest of these hour and a half of Trump's talk is pretty much just doing like what he did today, talking about how great the vaccine is. And the thing is, he has his supporters cheering. The people at these rallies, which there's a good amount of people, the Trump supporters, who a lot of them are skeptical. Now when Trump's like, we got this great vaccine and it's awesome and it's going to be, you know, they said we couldn't do it, we told you we'd do it, you know, we're just number one, and all this kind of usual Trump talk. And it's like his supporters are buying into it. So check this part out. Look, this is where he says the Biden's building a prison state, but you notice he doesn't say anything about not mandating a vaccine. And I listened to the whole damn thing.
Should have never happened. That should have never been allowed to happen. Joe Biden is promising to delay the vaccine and turn America into a prison state. He's looking you in the face and he's locking you in your home while letting rioters, Antifa, the radical left, run down.
So take note that in this instance, the way he's criticizing Joe Biden is saying that Joe Biden would slow down the vaccine. Did you hear that part? Like he's like, that was his criticism. It wasn't that, oh, Biden's trying to force you to take the vaccine. He's now saying the bad thing is that Biden's trying to stop you from having this awesome, great vaccine that we made before anybody, you know, when nobody said we could do it before. And he goes on and on bragging about it. Listen to it one more time.
To delay the vaccine and turn America into a prison state. Want to silence, censor, cancel, and punish you. If you want your children to be, he's looking you in the face and he's locking you in your home while letting rioters, Antifa, the
All right, I think I played it one time already, but you guys heard it. He said, you know, Joe Biden's trying to delay the vaccine and lock you in your homes, right? So he's scaring people about the lockdown, which Biden, one of his guys, as I wrote, and I'll show you in a moment, does support lockdowns. But then today, some of Biden's people said that two of his health officials said that they don't support lockdowns. So none of us really know what's going to happen. But the point is that Trump is selling this in a way of like Biden's trying to stop this great vaccine that we created. And it's just so trippy and intriguing to see this happening, that how the propaganda works, where it flips like that. And I do guarantee, I know, I see Larry Lane commenting on Facebook saying his base doesn't want the vaccine. I think that's mostly true, but I guarantee you there are going to be some of the most brainwashed that will buy into it and that will support a Trump vaccine just because, you know, it's our team and it's safe or whatever. So I want to show you a couple other rallies, because Trump had three rallies in Michigan that day. The one I just showed you, where that he said that Biden was building a prison state. As I showed you, it doesn't say what that independent article claimed. So even if Trump had said he was going to not do the coronavirus vaccine mandatory, he said that the night before the election. And then I went and watched the talk, and he didn't even say that. Instead, he was promoting the vaccine. And so this time, I searched prison to see if Trump uses the same speech again, because he does. He tends to say the same thing. And here we go. Here's another one. Here's another time where he's complaining that Biden is going to delay the vaccine. This is in a totally different city in Michigan. Hold on. Let me make sure I got the audio on. Yeah. So I just want to really make this point clear, guys, because I move on from Trump in just a moment, because I don't like really talking about Trump. I think it's a waste of time ultimately. But I know that there are some people who are still buying to this narrative that Trump is a good guy. And it really just sucks for the greater conspiracy truther researcher movement, because there's a fracture that's going to exist where these people, whether Trump leaves office or stays, they're going to keep believing that he was a secret good guy that almost beat the deep state, but those damn Democrats just stopped him or whatever, you know, and they're going to go on living in a false reality. And I'm trying to just puncture that as much as possible while Trump is still in office. So check this one out, where he is again criticizing Biden for trying to slow down the vaccine.
Joe Biden is promising to delay the vaccine and turn America into a prison state. That's what he wants. Locking you in your home while letting the far left rioters, they could. So the rioters are the looters.
So he does the same speech every time, basically, but he keeps saying that. So let's look, though, again. I did a keyword search on the transcript of how many times the word vaccine appears in there, and it shows 8 times. So one time is when he says Joe Biden is promising to delay the vaccine. And he says, basically, the country will never be a socialist nation, and that's what they want to do. If you want a vaccine to kill the virus, a job to support your family, and freedom to live the great life, then go cast your ballot for your all-time favorite president. So get it. Trump is saying, if you want a vaccine to kill this virus, vote for me. I mean, how is that not like a promotion of the vaccine? Let's hear him say it.
If you want a vaccine to kill the virus, a job to support your family, and freedom to live the great, great life that you've always want to have, then go cast your ballot tomorrow for your all-time favorite president, I hope.
What a freaking ego. For your all-time favorite president, I hope. I mean, it's just ridiculous. But there you go. He's promoting the vaccine. And I can just keep going on and showing these numbers. Right here, he's saying, we're going to keep saving lives and distribute a vaccine, and we're opening up America again. And there's applause from his people. So despite saying his base doesn't like it, the people in his audience sure do seem to like it. Here's another one, just to make it clear. And this is the day before the election, guys.
Deadly Biden lockdown or a safe vaccine. The vaccine is coming along great. A couple of weeks. It's going to be out soon. That ends the pandemic.
So he's saying there's a pandemic, even though those of us who've done the research know that there's not really a pandemic, that the numbers don't lie, that the tests are faulty, that the lockdowns are harming people, that all these things. And you know, he's criticizing the lockdowns, but he's basically saying, like, if we want the vaccines to end, we need this great virus. And Biden's trying to slow down this great virus. I got one more and then we're going to move on from this. But I just want to hammer this home so you guys can really see this. This is Donald Trump speaking, the president that some of you still believe in, and there is definitely election fraud of various kinds going on. I'm not denying that, but that happens every single election. That is the nature of the U.S. elections. And, you know, many of you don't see that, you don't understand that, but that's what we're dealing with. So please understand that this is not just about being anti-Trump. This is about exposing that many of you have bought into a false hero in the same way that people on the left or the fake left are starting to buy into a false hero with Biden. Check this out.
Percent of hospital rooms, emergency rooms, 3% are related right now, exactly, just came out last night, 3% to the virus. And it will be available free. We're doing the vaccine free. And the reason is that this wasn't your fault. This wasn't anyone's fault. This was China's fault.
Oh, get the crowd cheering, blaming China, even though the U.S. and China both worked on research on bats studying coronaviruses. Don't acknowledge that. But you see that? He's like, oh, it's not your fault. We're going to make sure the vaccine's free. Don't worry about it, guys. Okay, let's see how many other times he mentioned it. Just remember, it's – okay, here we go. So he said it's China's fault, and then he follows it up with this.
Just remember it. Our vaccine will eradicate the virus much more quickly and end the pandemic quickly. Because we want to have our life restored just to normal. That's all we want.
So you see, he's not fighting the vaccines. He might be pushing on the lockdowns, but he's also subtly saying the way to get out of the lockdowns and to end these crazy Democrat lockdowns is through our safe, awesome vaccine, which is going to help you kill the virus, beat the virus. I mean, he says it a number of different times. And then here's one more time. Here he's talking about how great his generals have done because, again, Operation Warp Speed, which is being headed by GlaxoSmithKline and the military, is a military operation. Here's Donald Trump thanking his generals who are involved with the distribution and the spreading of this. So, look, you can argue about election fraud. You can be stuck on all this stuff with Trump. But if you're ignoring the reality that Trump has dropped more bombs than Obama with drone bombs, he's continued surveillance, he's signed the NDAA, he's increased people's support of the military and the police, like growing the police state and the idea that we should send out the military to shut people down. He's definitely in bed with big pharma, big oil. He's, you know, promoting the vaccine and he's helping run a military operation. So whether he stays or leaves, he's not your friend.
People have done an incredible job. Our generals, I mean, look at the vaccines. Look at, hey, excuse me, look at me. I go in, sister, I wasn't feeling too good. And they gave me something called Regeneron. The next morning, sister, I woke up.
Oh, by the way, Bill Gates and Donald Trump both hold stock in Regeneron. So I'm sure just by that speech, some people got rich and got a boost. And his big pharma buddies called him the next day and said, hey, thanks for promoting it. You did a great job. All right, guys, we're going to end that story there, but I hope I really hammered that point home. I mean, did I make it clear enough that Donald Trump, if you're still thinking that, I've already went through the different examples. Scott Atlas, back in September, his coronavirus guy said one sentence saying, oh, it's not like we're mandating it. And then the day before the election, the Independent reported that Trump said that, you know, it wouldn't be mandated. But I listened to three-hour rallies of Trump, and he didn't say that. All he said was that Biden was trying to lock people down in a prison state, but instead he was actually promoting the vaccine and promoting how great it was going to be for America and how it was going to be the key to letting people go back to normal. So I really hope you guys will rethink your position if you think he's here to save you. All right, let me get into some comments here. Let's check the comments over on Float. Rika says, like Donnie has stopped any of the governor's dictators from mandating lockdowns. I think that's a great point that people need to understand that if Trump really wanted to fight the deep state or whatever, then why wouldn't he come out more strongly? Yeah, he's criticized this governor. He said this. And then there was the whole fake thing with the Michigan government. But the point is that he's not really coming out hard like he could. And like I said earlier, when he's allegedly against something, he gets on Twitter and he tweets all day about it. So why isn't he doing that about vaccines or these lockdowns? Let's go over here to DLive. And it says, Black Hat says, you're never going to change the reality. Trump just does what he is told. And I think that's kind of a good point. I think that most of the people in that position, I know a lot of you still buy into this idea that he's that he somehow won the election. He's not a politician and he just defied the deep state. I haven't bought that for one single moment since November 2016 when Trump was elected. I knew that there's no way that anybody ever gets in that position. We've seen that over the years. And if you're older than 20 years old, you should have seen it by now to realize this political system is rigged in favor of certain people. And they have control of the media and so many different mechanisms that I don't buy into this idea that somehow they didn't know Trump was going to beat Hillary Clinton. And it was just, oh my God, I think this whole 4 years has been orchestrated. There are real people who do hate Trump and there are people who legitimately have biases. But overall, the people who are in the know at the top levels are just, Trump's just playing a different role. He is the great divider. Rika says, people tell me I've fallen for far right wing propaganda when I say Trump has dropped more bombs. Like, yeah, I mean, it's just delusional. There's a lot of delusion out there, guys. I appreciate everybody who's listening on float.app/consciousresistance/live. Let me make sure. Yeah, float. That's FLOTE. Here, I'll share it right now for you guys. Everybody who's watching on Float, everybody who's watching on DLive. And again, we are also live on theconsciousresistance.com/live. If anybody wants to go watch from our website, we don't have a chat set up yet, but we're working on that. And we will appreciate the extra traffic. I also appreciate the comments. Tim says, Derek, thank you for being a content creator and getting out the message that government is slavery and needs to be completely abolished so people can be free. Hey, Tim, I appreciate you. Thank you for thank you for what you do out there, because I know that this is an operation that all of us are involved. I'm out here creating content. Other people out there in their community gardens, other people are exposing cops, and some of you are sharing things and talking to family and friends about these ideas. But it is a group effort that we have going on, so let's keep doing it. Now let's dive into the next story. If you want to find the links, including all of the videos that I just went over about Donald Trump, you can go to theconsciousresistance.com and look for this post, The Conscious Resistance Live 116, Vaccines for Concerts, Vatican Sex Abuse, and Biden's Task Force. So I started on the Trump thing. That's not where I meant to start. I meant to start somewhere else, but I just had to get that stuff going. And so I didn't mean to spend so much time on this, but let's catch up on a few COVID reports that I think you guys are going to want to hear about, including my latest article about Joe Biden's coronavirus task force that is basically a giant swamp of Rockefeller, Council on Foreign Relations, CIA, Gates Foundation agents. I mean, it really couldn't be more blatant. The only difference is Donald Trump's already been doing this under Operation Warp Speed. Biden's just extending it and kind of taking it to the next level, I guess. So let's go ahead and dive into these next few stories here. I'm going to kind of breeze through a few of them, and then we'll focus on a couple of finer points. This one is coming from Gallup. You guys might have seen this, but it's been reported, but I haven't seen anybody actually sharing the actual poll. So Gallup, of course, they perform polls, and they say that Americans are less amenable to another COVID-19 lockdown. What they mean by that is nobody wants to go back inside. Nobody wants the economy to be destroyed, and people are not wanting to do it again. And this is happening as we're watching Europe lock down again. We're watching parts of the U.S. already locked down. And I know that even parts of Mexico have started to kind of become a little bit more closed in some places. It's not happening where I'm at, but you know, the talk is in the air. This is as we move closer to the dark winter that we keep being told about. So according to this new Gallup poll, fewer Americans now than in spring would shelter in place for a month. Two-thirds consider it likely that their area will experience a virus surge, and most feel reasonably confident that they can protect themselves from infection. And I think this is important because it shows that some people probably we've had 10 months of this system and this issue, and people are they're exhausted. You know, they're calling it like mask fatigue and virus fatigue, COVID fatigue. People are done with it. They're over it. And also, I think many people have finally seen that it's not as dangerous as we are being told in the spring. Now, of course, there are people who are totally bought into it, and they're the kind of people you see driving in their cars by themselves, and they're like just got masks on and everything. And I feel bad for them. But, you know, at the end of the day, all we can do is try to inform people, I feel like, and just expose them to better information. If that's your thing, which, you know, we've talked about that here in Mexico, trying to wake people up and educate our community that we're living in now. But I do think generally, and people in the US and elsewhere have started to see through some of the BS. And so maybe they're like, yeah, I think we're going to be fine. We don't, you know, I feel safe. I don't really think I need to lock down. So again, the numbers are showing that people are very unlikely to shelter in place this time. It says, if public health officials recommended staying at home for a month because of a serious outbreak of coronavirus in your community, how likely would you be to stay home for a month? And the numbers of very likely are down from back in March, they were as high as 67% of people that were polled. And as of the last couple weeks of October going into the first week of November, only 49% of people said that they would be interested in that. And then you had some people who said they were somewhat likely. That number was down to 18%, very somewhat likely, 33%. So, you know, numbers not really high, definitely less than half the people saying that they are willing to shelter in place and lock down for a month if there's some alleged community spread in their community. So I think that's something to take heart in, maybe. Maybe people are really growing sick of what the situation, and they're really starting to think and question it. And I think that's something that we can take advantage of. Those of us who are concerned about these issues, if you're starting to notice that people have virus fatigue or lockdown fatigue or whatever, it might be a good time to start talking to them and say, hey, did you know that even the World Health Organization has said that the lockdowns hurt the poorest people among us? And I know that you're a good, compassionate person and you care about, you know, people of color and poor communities in all parts of the world. Well, did you know if they follow these lockdowns, it's going to hurt the poorest people among us, and they are going to suffer the most. And it's also going to push more people into poverty. Maybe we should rethink this whole lockdown thing. It's just as simple as that, having that conversation and talking to people and getting to understand, you know, what's going on in their head. And I think trying to understand where they're coming from, because while we don't comply, we have to, I think, encourage more people to question the reality and the narrative around us. Because if they don't, if they continue to buy into a lot of the propaganda, then essentially what's going to happen is we're going to be in a situation where we're surrounded by a bunch of people who've bought into propaganda and are brainwashed. And that's going to make things so much more dangerous, which is why I promote freedom cells. And I talk about getting connected, localizing with your community, using the freedomcells.org, if you haven't checked us out yet, to find people in your area, to use the maps, to connect and try to not only build independence, grow your own food, use alternative currencies, use alternative encrypted communications and things like that, and have an emergency plan for all kinds of situations, have backup food, all these kinds of important things. But also go out there and do outreach in your community and spread awareness about the lockdowns, the lies of the lockdowns, the lies of the PCR test, and all these different levels of and layers of COVID. So this right here, though, this next aspect of COVID is a report that, again, is not being talked about in the mainstream. It came out November 4th. And it's coming from this political think tank called Freedom House, which, you know, you can take it for whatever you want. Maybe you don't like them. But they are a nonprofit that published a report titled False Panacea, Abusive Surveillance in the Name of Public Health. And what follows is a lengthy list of surveillance projects from around the world. And in their analysis, they say that most anti-COVID tracing and data efforts, public and private, have little public oversight and are operationally opaque, which means that people don't know anything about them or how long that information is going to be held and where it's going. And Freedom House's argument is that governments rarely pack up and recreate policing programs after they have seemingly run their course. Just like with 9/11, all these, well, we need to monitor people, we need to take off our shoes at the airports for a little while, over and over and over. The thing is that those things don't go away. And in the same way, I've been telling you guys since way back in February, when I had a lot of normie people who follow me on Facebook acting like I was crazy for saying, guys, this isn't going away. Look, I know you're well-meaning friends, but you can put the mask on, but it's not going to go away. And they're going to push the vaccine. Hey, they might not let you travel without a vaccine. They might not let you go to concerts. And all these things are starting to happen. And this report does a great job of saying, if you've never heard that term mission creep, it's basically the idea that when there's military, it's typically used in terms of military, when there's like a military operation that after a while, what they call mission creep starts to happen, where these temporary things become more permanent. And that's how we've got the global war on terror and things of that sort. And now they're saying a similar mission creep is happening with COVID, with this anti-terror surveillance expansion. The anti-terror surveillance expansion that happened after 9/11 is now looking a lot like what we're seeing as far as the antivirus biosurveillance expansion that's happening now. So it's the same thing. This is the same operation in many ways being run 20 years after the fact, which is why I've become more and more convinced that one way or another, this is a false flag. And I mentioned concerts, right? I'm sure you guys have seen this story. It's already gone viral. Billboard magazine reported just 2 days ago how Ticketmaster plans to check your vaccine status for concerts. And it was an exclusive article basically saying that Ticketmaster has a plan, and they said it's in development and it hasn't been completely released yet, but it said they've been working on a framework for a post-pandemic fan safety that uses smartphones to verify fans' vaccination status or whether they've tested negative for the coronavirus within a 24-hour to 72-hour window. So obviously that would mean you'd have to go get a test before you can go to a Ticketmaster show. And let's be honest, Ticketmaster shows are usually the most corporate, poppy, mainstream bullshit artists. Let's just be real. Like, I don't ever go to use Ticketmaster. Like, back in the day, they used to have a lot more of a monopoly. Now you've got things like Clear Channel and Ticketmaster, and it usually is like the corporate big bands, and sometimes maybe good bands, but so maybe this isn't that big of a loss. But obviously, a lot of people go see that music, and they probably will do this thing. So according to Billboard, they said that the planning, which was in the development phase, involved a Ticketmaster digital ticket app, third-party health information companies like the Clear Health Pass, which I've been talking about. That's like the Clear, the people at the airport, where you can get ahead of the airport, ahead of the line if you do their little program. And now they're talking about a health pass, which is immunity passport, or IBM's digital health pass, and testing and vaccine distribution providers like LabCorp and the CVS Minute Clinic. So they got a whole operation planned out, and it says here's how it would work. If approved, after purchasing a ticket for a concert, fans would need to verify that they have already been vaccinated, which would provide approximately 1 year of COVID-19 protection. So think about that. That gives you 1 year of COVID-19 protection, according to them, which would mean, obviously, you'd have to take it again, right? Because you can't just have 1 year. You need a full, you know, forever. So if that's not going to be possible, I guess we just like our flu shot, we take our COVID shot every year, right? The length of coverage would be governed by regional health authorities. If attendees of a Friday night concert had to be tested 48 hours in advance, most could start the testing process the day before the event. If it was a 24-hour window, most people would likely be tested the same day of the event at a lab or a health clinic. Imagine that. Like, you're getting excited to go to a concert to see your favorite band that evening. Oh, wait, hold on. We got to make sure to go by the clinic and get our COVID test and check on our COVID little app and make sure that this is just a disgusting world. I don't want to go to concerts in bubbles, and I don't want to go to concerts with immunity passports, and I refuse to do so. And it says, once the test was complete, the fan would instruct the lab to deliver the results to their health pass company, like Clear or IBM. So those companies would be gathering lots of biological data on people. And if the tests were negative or the fan was vaccinated, the health pass company would then verify the attendee's COVID status to Ticketmaster, which would then issue the fan the credentials needed to access the event. If a fan tested positive or didn't take a test to verify their status, they would not be granted access to the event. There are still many details to work out, but the goal of the program is for fans to take care of vaccines and testing prior to concert and not showing up hoping to be tested on site. So that report came out, and like I said, that was going viral lately. And then I just saw this update from the BBC one day later. No, Ticketmaster won't force you to have a COVID vaccine. So it seems like they're kind of backtracking. They're claiming that, oh, Billboard got it wrong. Billboard said they had an exclusive that somebody inside Ticketmaster was telling them about the plan. And Dave Brooks, he hasn't issued a correction. So I think he still stands by his story. But now Ticketmaster is saying, oh, no, hold on. So Ticketmaster denies reports that fans will be required to prove they've had a vaccine or a negative COVID-19 vaccine test before attending concerts. As I said, it came from Billboard. And while Ticketmaster is exploring such an idea, it said there will, quote, be absolutely no requirement for mandated vaccines. We're not forcing anyone to do anything. And I think that, again, this is maybe another win. Maybe they saw how viral this story was going and how much people are pushing back and saying, like, yeah, screw you, I'm never going to another Ticketmaster concert again. Then they decided, like, hey, maybe let's hold on. And also, sometimes, you know, we have to understand how much the media is controlled, how much they put crap out there and garbage in our minds. This could perhaps just be, hey, let's report on this exclusive story about Ticketmaster and see how people respond. Are people at the point where they're willing to say, hey, you know, I'm okay with having to take a vaccine to go to concerts? And then maybe they use an algorithm or some AI to watch it, to study it, and they realize, okay, look, less than half the population seems down with this, so let's shelve that idea. Let's wait a couple more months or a couple more years. Let's wait till after dark winter. Then they'll be willing to take a vaccine to go to the concert. They'll be willing to do anything if they can't get out of lockdown. It's crazy, guys. And then the final COVID story. I've been on COVID way too long. I didn't want to do the whole show about COVID, and I have several other important stories. And again, those of you who are just tuning in, I do have an exclusive preview to my documentary, The Pyramid of Power, and it's still uploading right now, so hopefully it'll be done shortly. And I will be showing that to you guys in just a little bit, so please stay tuned. Joe Biden's coronavirus task force is a Rockefeller Council on Foreign Relations Gates Foundation swamp. I published this just a couple of days ago on thelastamericanvagabond.com, thelastamericanvagabond.com. If you want to check it out, please go ahead and support them. And again, shout out to everybody who has made the move and is over there on DLive and Float. So This is basically my rundown of the 13-member task force that was appointed by Joe Biden, you know, media-ordained president-elect Joe Biden. He announced the creation of a COVID-19 transition advisory board and a coronavirus task force, which he says will assume control of the fight against COVID on January 20th, 2021, if he is eventually, you know, put into office as the 46th president. And interestingly, Joe Biden issued a call for all American people to begin wearing masks for the next few months, he said, until a vaccine is available. Oh, look at that. Just like Trump is saying, vaccines are going to come here and save you and end the lockdown, Biden's like, wear a mask until we get the vaccines. Biden also said the CDC has called the mask the most potent weapon against the virus. And he also repeated his warning, saying that a dark winter was potentially on the way. And this is a phrase that has been increasingly used. And then the very next day, Kamala says, as Joe Biden says yesterday, we are facing a dark winter if we don't get coronavirus under control. Please wear a mask to reduce the spread and save lives. Oh, man. And then I basically just go through here, guys. And as I said, with Operation Warp Speed under the Trump administration, it's connected to Big Pharma, DARPA. And if you don't know who DARPA is the people who in the U.S. who are working on things like this, like robot dogs to patrol you and keep you from apart from each other. Yeah, that organization is involved in Operation Warp Speed, as well as the Gates Foundation. So that's what Trump was doing. And then with Biden and his apparent task force, he's bringing in all kinds of people. Out of the 13 people, 8 of them are connected to the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And I mean, I just go into a few examples. I really would encourage you to read the article yourself so you can find out more about it. Dr. Julie Morita, she's participated in events with the Gates Foundation. She was also involved in writing the promoting one of the Rockefeller's contact tracing plans. Dr. Celine Gounder, she is basically seems like she's a TV doctor, not to say she doesn't have real credentials. I'm just saying they bring her on CNN. They bring her on MSNBC, Al Jazeera, CBS, and the BBC. And she's also was formerly the director of delivery at Gates Foundation at an organization funded by the Gates Foundation called the Consortium to Respond Effectively to AIDS. Miss Lois Pace is the executive director and president of Global Health Council. And the Global Health Council is supported by the Gates Foundation and gives out the Gates Award named after Bill Gates. As recently as September 2020, the Gates Foundation gifted $25,000 to the Global Health Council. Dr. Eric Goosby, who is an infectious disease expert coming from the University of California, San Francisco, he came from the Clinton administration, was the founding director of the largest federally funded HIV program, which is interesting. There's a lot of people involved in the fight against AIDS that are now a part of Biden's 13-member task force. And Dr. Eric Goosby, infectious disease expert, was also part of a 25-member commission convened by the Rockefeller Foundation and Boston University, which was studying how to influence people's health. And in 2012, Dr. Eric Goosby participated in a panel with Bill Gates as part of the International AIDS Conference. So hanging out with Bill Gates, doing panels with him. Michael Osterholm, the director for the Center for Infectious Disease Research, and former science envoy to the State Department. He has connections to the Rockefeller Foundation. He was involved with the creation of the Rockefeller's COVID-19 testing action plan, along with Dr. Zeke Emanuel, who's also in this list. He promoted the idea of hiring at least 100,000 contact tracers, that army of contact tracers we were hearing about in the spring. This guy is one of the people promoting them. Dr. Atul Gawande, professor of surgery at Brigham and Women's Hospital and Harvard Medical School. He is, again, another person with a close friendship with Bill Gates. They've been on interviews on CNBC together where they seem to be very friendly. But also, he participated in a panel at the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland. And, of course, the World Economic Forum are the people promoting the Great Reset. So that's pretty interesting. And Gawande also moderated an event at the United Nations featuring Bill Gates and German Chancellor Angela Merkel. Dr. Luciana Borio has served in senior leadership positions at the FDA. And they say that she is one of the doctors who predicted the pandemic, much like they say about Bill Gates. She is also the vice president of the technical staff at NQTEL. NQTEL, the CIA's venture capital firm. This is how the CIA buys up a lot of different companies, and they do their work more covertly through public-private partnerships and investments and things like that. And Borio was also formerly a biodefense specialist on the National Security Council, which is known as a haven for intelligence agents and government spokesmen who advise the president. These are the same people who developed the presidential kill list, otherwise known as the disposition matrix. And in August, this Dr. Luciana Borio, she joined the Council on Foreign Relations, which many of you understand the Council on Foreign Relations and the influence that they have globally and have had for decades. You know, just, I mean, again, this is just like a Rockefeller Gates swamp, and it goes on and on. And I also talked about Dr. Ezekiel Emanuel. You guys will remember he is the brother of former mayor of Chicago, Rahm Emanuel, who was also in the Obama administration. And he infamously said that you never want to let a good crisis go to waste. And I have that video, I included it here, where he said that, you know, you never want to let a good crisis go to waste because you can get away with things that you can't on normal times. And his brother, who is a doctor, Ezekiel Emanuel, has been in trouble because he's wrote an essay called Why I Hope to Die When I'm 75, basically saying that life is not worth living after 75 and that the US government, the healthcare system, should not prioritize healthcare for people over 75. He's also a bioethicist, which is interesting. And he has spoken out against euthanasia in some case, but he's also, like I said, written this article about dying when he's 75. And Bill Gates likes him so much that he's recommended his books as summer reading. They apparently have a relationship that goes at least a decade back, and they've been together on MSNBC. And Zeke Emanuel, the doctor of and the brother of Rahm Emanuel, also works with the Gates Foundation-funded Gavi Global Vaccine Alliance. I mean, so these just, I mean, it's just insane, like the connections there. And then, of course, we have Rick Bright, who was celebrated as a whistleblower during, you know, back in April. They said he was trying to hold the Trump administration accountable. And he was one of the first people on the congressional floor to say the term dark winter. And he said, quote, without clear planning and implementation of the steps that I and other experts have outlined, 2020 will be the darkest winter in modern history. So those are the people that Joe Biden is picking for his coronavirus task force. I mean, it's just more Gates, Rockefeller, Council on Foreign Relations, CIA through Incatel, counterterrorism. I don't know why they need to have counterterrorism experts in there. I mean, but that's, to me, it makes a lot of sense because this is, we're basically seeing the war on terror change to the war on your body. And this idea that instead of just having to worry about terrorists hiding behind, you know, every hiding behind every bush and hiding in caves, now it's, you have to be worried about what's inside your body, what viruses are going to get you sick, and maybe you might have it, maybe your temperature's gone too high, we need to quarantine you. Like I said earlier, the CDC quarantine camps, these things are real. I mean, you can call them whatever you want, humanitarian settings, you can call them centers, you can call whatever, they are a very real thing. You need to wake up to that. You need to realize that your own government thinks that the majority of you are terrorists. Even if you're just a middle America soccer mom sitting in the suburbs wondering what this crazy guy on the phone is telling you about, look, if you question government, if you think that you deserve to have the right to own your body and that maybe you don't want to let the government inject vaccines into your family, they will see you as a terrorist. They will paint you as the enemy. They will paint you as the problem, especially when it comes to this whole COVID thing where they're really pushing on making it those of us who've questioned things seem like we're the problem, we're the enemy, and we're, you know, and I think that's only going to get worse. So we need to be aware of that. Let's go ahead and continue, guys. We're about an hour in, and I've got a few more stories I want to cover. We just went through a lot of COVID news, lockdown. I also spent some time showing you guys that Trump is full of it again when he's basically the people who are thinking that he's going to come save them from vaccines or something along those lines. I think it's really important to push past that. I do want to provide a very brief Epstein update. Many of you know I produced a documentary back in November 2018 before some of you ever heard the name Jeffrey Epstein, called Bringing Down Jeffrey Epstein, which can be found at theconsciousresistance.com on our documentaries page. Well, I've followed the story since 2015 and maybe even sooner than that. And now we have kind of a new, not an ending, because we're still seeking justice and hoping for justice, because we know that Epstein didn't kill himself. And we know that Ghislaine Maxwell, she might not even be in prison. And if she is in prison, she's definitely not going to kill herself. We've seen so many people in this case get away with everything. Nope, you know, Epstein's dead, quote unquote. Nobody's being held accountable. And now the Department of Justice, under the Trump administration, that many of you said, I've had people say, isn't it a coincidence that Epstein got arrested under Trump? That didn't happen under Obama, even though the case had been already in progress way before Trump came into office. And if that was the case, well, then why is the DOJ now saying that Alex Acosta, who Trump appointed to labor secretary and who only resigned after people started making a big deal about it, that they said that, oh, he didn't do anything wrong. He helped create a sweetheart deal for Epstein that allowed Epstein to spend 6 hours a day in jail and leave and go to his office where he was still receiving young women visiting him. And his own private guard, sheriff's guard, paid for by taxpayers, and was, you know, basically allowed to leave whenever the heck he wanted. And this was a sweetheart deal crafted by Alex Acosta, who still claims that they did the best deal they could because Epstein's lawyers were, you know, working hard, and they basically, you know, beat them with good old courtroom drama. And it's just a lie. This guy covered for Epstein, helped him get a sweetheart deal. We had emails that released that in the past. And I've covered that in my documentary, Bringing Down Jeffrey Epstein, where we show that the lawyers were working together from both sides to coordinate how to cut the victims out of the situation so that Epstein could get a sweetheart deal. And in return, Donald Trump puts this guy, Alex Acosta, into the position of Secretary of Labor. He only resigned once people made a big deal. Acosta was recently a target of an internal Justice Department investigation, and they determined that he exercised, quote, poor judgment, but still ruled that he had not broken the law or engaged in professional misconduct. The decision to not prosecute Acosta was handed down despite investigators admitting that he closed Epstein's case, quote, before significant investigative steps were completed, aka he helped cover it up. And this has been reported many places, but one of the interesting developments the New York Daily News reported is that Alex Acosta, his email inbox is missing emails from a very important period during this whole Epstein saga. And this is, of course, in the time period where his office was negotiating this sweetheart deal with Epstein's lawyers. Coincidentally, now federal officials, as part of this Justice Department investigation, are saying that his emails from May 26, 2007 to April 2nd, 2008, they're missing from a technical glitch. That they said it didn't just affect his email, but it also affected other people's emails. We promise you, like, we had some weird technical glitch. I don't even know. There's just a whole year of emails missing. And yeah, I guess it happens to be that time period when Epstein was coordinating with this guy. But yeah, technical glitches, you know, they happen. And it's just so crazy how many politicians get away with shit that's hidden in their emails. And even when we get it leaked or comes out to the public, they can just claim it's fake, it's Russian disinformation, or it's Chinese disinformation, it's fake news, whatever. Or they can just delete it and claim, oh, a technical glitch, whoops. And I'm sure the fact that this is the DOJ, which is headed by William Barr, which we know his father was connected to Jeffrey Epstein going back decades. And again, Barr is basically covering for Trump. We know Trump has a decades-long relationship with Epstein, as well as Ghislaine Maxwell. And under the Trump administration, under their DOJ, the guy, Alex Acosta, who helped craft the sweetheart deal, who then was put into the position as labor secretary, and all of a sudden his emails just disappear from some technical glitch. Are you really that stupid to believe that? To believe that the Trump administration is not covering up here? And I'm not saying that Trump's a pedo. I don't know that. I don't have that evidence for certain. But there definitely are enough things that we should be looking at. And the fact that this is how this case is wrapping up with, oh, well, after the big hubbub about Alex Acosta, potentially, you know, he helped cover this up for Trump. Here he is right here. Or he helped, you know, Epstein get the sweetheart deal. Well, let's investigate it. Look, the DOJ investigated itself. And guess what? They said he didn't do things right, but he didn't do anything illegal. And by the way, lots of the emails are missing from a technical glitch. I mean, if the American people are going to buy this, we are just that stupid. And maybe I hate to say it, but maybe we do deserve what's coming. I don't really want to put it that way, you know, because I think that everybody deserves a right to liberty and to freedom and to fighting for what we believe in and to creating the better world that we know is possible. But guys, the propaganda and the insanity has become so blatant these days that if you don't see what's going on, I'm not really sure that you're even paying attention. And you can be left wing, right wing, you can be center, you can be anarchist, you can be libertarian, you can be Green Party, you can be apolitical. But if you even pay attention to the tiniest bit and you read the articles that I'm writing and the videos I produce and that many of other great content creators are producing, it is impossible not to see that this system is rigged from top to bottom and that they have it controlled, that they are manipulating our reality by trying to show us what they want us to see. Believe in this guy. Believe in this guy. This guy's going to play good cop. This guy's going to play bad cop. This guy's going to be real shitty and divisive. And the next guy will come in and promise unity and make everything better and sound like roses and flowers. But it's going to be the same war machine, the same police state, the same surveillance state, the same attack on individual liberty and freedom of speech. And it's only going to get worse because our brothers and sisters are acting like morons and they're out there voting for evil. Like, all right. I have one more story for you guys tonight, and then actually two more. I do want to do an important, I got some more bad news coming from the Vatican. Some of you might remember that I covered, let's go there first. Some of you might remember I covered this story a couple of weeks ago about an ongoing trial, that there is a Vatican sex abuse trial that's not making the mainstream news at all. And this isn't just like, oh, one random Catholic priest from middle of nowhere, Tennessee or something is accused of pedophilia or something. No, this is a member of the Vatican in the Pope's own backyard. The Vatican's not big, so it's literally in his backyard, that this guy was accused of molesting this boy for years while another one witnessed it and was basically blackmailed to be quiet about it. And now that's coming out now. And that's, I haven't seen much more reporting on that. And it's going to be difficult to get information because the Vatican, they have their own court system. They got their own laws and everything. So it's not like we can expect there to be real justice, but I will keep you apprised of updates on that case. But in the meantime, we have these stories. Vatican faults many for McCarrick's rise, spares Francis. What the hell are they talking about? A Vatican investigation into former Cardinal Theodore McCarrick has found that a series of bishops, cardinals, and popes downplayed or dismissed reports of sexual misconduct with seminarians and determined that Pope Francis merely continued his predecessor's handling of the predator until a former altar boy alleged abuse. So they're basically calling out the current pope to some degree, but they're stopping short of saying that he knew about it. But they're definitely saying the previous pope, who's now dead, hey, we can just put it out in the open. He knew about it. The Vatican took the extraordinary step Tuesday of publishing its 249-page internal investigation into the American prelate's rise and fall in a bid to restore credibility to the U.S. and Vatican hierarchies, which have been shattered by this most recent scandal. A summary of the report from the Vatican puts the lion's share of the blame on a dead saint, Pope John Paul II, who is the one who appointed McCarrick Archbishop of Washington, D.C. in 2000, despite him having commissioned an inquiry that confirmed that he had slept with some of the kids, the boys, the people there. The summary says John Paul believed that McCarrick's last-ditch handwritten denial. So basically, there was evidence that this dude was molesting and sleeping. You know, they say sleep with, but let's understand that this is a situation that involves power and authority. And these are the priests. There's a lot of young boys that are scared. It's not like this was just an equal situation. This was them, you know, really taking advantage of the situation. So they didn't just sleep. They raped and they molested these young boys, unfortunately. And the guy writes a handwritten denial and says, oops, my bad. Like, no, this isn't real. And Pope John Paul says, all right, cool, let's go with it. But the report also charts that the alarm bells that sounded but were ignored nearly a decade earlier, when in 1993, a series of six anonymous letters were sent to the U.S. church officials and the Vatican ambassadors to the U.S., alleging that McCarrick was a pedophile who would sleep in the same bed with young men and boys. The ambassador destroyed the letters, and the U.S. church had a policy at the time of not taking action based on anonymous reports of abuse, a practice that they've recently reversed throughout the church. McCarrick, 90 years old, was defrocked by Pope Francis last year after a Vatican investigation confirmed decades of allegations that the globe-trotting envoy and successful church fundraiser had sexually molested adults as well as children. The Vatican had reports from authoritative figures dating back to 1999 that McCarrick's behavior was problematic, yet he continued to rise to become an influential cardinal, kingmaker, and emissary of the Holy See's soft diplomacy. The findings accused bishops dead and alive of providing the Vatican with incomplete information about his behavior and turning a blind eye to his repeated flouting of informal restrictions. So basically, all kinds of people helped this happen. The Pope helped cover it up, or at least turned a blind eye. Other people turned a blind eye and helped it happen. And like I said, this isn't even the current case. This is about a dude that's already 90 years old, and he's been molesting young boys and adults apparently his whole life. That's the position of power. That's the power of authority, that individuals, even grown men, can be molested because they feel like, okay, this is a person of power. He did something a little weird. Maybe I'm embarrassed. I don't want to tell anybody about it. Nobody's going to believe me. And it's just insane. And so they did release this giant report, and these articles are linked on theconsciousresistance.com, 450-page report detailing how many people have covered up decades of abuse to young boys. So look, this is an epidemic. I've talked about this. It's not just Jeffrey Epstein and the rich people and politicians. As we know, it goes into Hollywood with people like Kevin Spacey. It goes into the music industry. You know, it goes into the religions. It's not just the Catholics, either the Vatican's. I've covered stories here about Southern Baptists. We've talked about Jehovah's Witnesses. We've talked about so many different, you know, traditions and religions that have people in power and in schools. It comes down to the authority, that they believe they have this authority, and the young kids in many cases don't have the courage or the understanding to kind of stand up for themselves, or they're just scared, or they don't think anybody's going to believe them. And these sick, twisted fucks take advantage of this shit. So this next story is kind of a continuation of the Vatican thing. Another Vatican sex abuse scandal, and this is current. Ex-Vatican envoy faces sexual abuse charge in French court. This was recorded just a couple days ago. The Vatican's former ambassador to France goes on trial Tuesday, just this week, for alleged sexual misconduct. Multiple men have accused Archbishop Luigi Ventura of groping and inappropriately touching them. Exceptionally, the Vatican last year lifted the ambassador's diplomatic immunity, allowing for his trial and for the allegations to be properly investigated. And there's a number of different people who are accusing him, and it goes on. And like, I think I've covered this enough, but this, as they say here, came right as this other report on Theodore McCarrick, the influential American cardinal, and evidence that he's been molesting people for decades and they've been covering it up. So now there's another case going on in France. I mean, this is, I hate to even be reporting on this stuff, but at the same time, I feel for, and I hate that young men and young women and just children or adults or whoever you are have had to stand and take this abuse. And that if we don't talk about it, if we as journalists and just as free people aren't willing to talk about these things, as uncomfortable as they are, then it's going to continue. Pedophiles are largely in control of the world. And that's not a QAnon thing. I don't follow that bullshit. I follow evidence. And we have more than enough evidence. We've had it for decades to show that people at the highest levels of government, the highest levels of media, of international organizations, and especially organizations that claim to be involved in fighting human trafficking and involved in refugee operations and foster children, they are, many of them, not, I'm not going to say everybody, of course, I don't have that evidence, but many of these people are involved in these operations. And it's just a fact. So these people, as Rika says on DLive, these people thrive on silence. And that's true. Our silence in this case is absolutely compliance. All right, guys, we're just about done. We have one more story. And those of you who stuck around, I will be showing you a 5-minute preview of the first episode of my upcoming documentary series, The Pyramid of Power, exclusively to you guys. And I am going to post the first edition of this episode to my Patreon supporters. If you want to sign up for as little as $1 a month, I'm going to be showing some of the previews exclusively to Patreon supporters as well. But before we go any further, I want to remind you guys to bookmark my website, theconsciousresistance.com. If you're following right now and watching on Facebook, please consider going to DLive to check us out on the Conscious Resistance there, or Float, or go to theconsciousresistance.com/live, and you can watch right on our website. I'm going to go ahead and post the DLive links one more time and the Float link for anybody who might want to just switch over for this last 10 or 15 minutes and, you know, support better platforms instead of supporting Zuckerberg. How about that? Let's give it a potential. I just shared the links all on the Facebook page for those of you who are over there. Let's get into the final story of the night. And it's an update on 5G. This is a topic I've been researching for going on 2 years now. Many of you are aware that I produced a documentary called The 5G Trojan Horse. Prior to being deleted off YouTube, it had been seen 100,000 times, but it's been seen probably just as much in all the other platforms that it's available on. It is an hour and a half documentary that documents the surveillance concerns of the 5G network and the push towards Internet of Things in general, as well as the health concerns for animals, plants, the soil, insects, and humans, as well as the corruption behind it. We look at every single aspect of the 5G telecom industry. If you're new to this topic and if you're skeptical of it, I encourage you to set aside some time this weekend to watch the 5G Trojan Horse or read this article to get you started. This is a brand new one on The Last American Vagabond as well, titled New Hampshire Releases Bombshell Report Questioning the Safety of 5G. A new report from the state of New Hampshire has concluded that the safety of 5G technology is a concern for the health of the people, the animals, and the environment. On November 1st, a 111-page report describing the health concerns associated with 5G was released by the New Hampshire Commission to Study the Environmental and Health Effects of Evolving 5G Technology. The report was released to New Hampshire Governor Christopher T. Sununu. The recommendations included that state agencies include information on their websites regarding the dangers of radio frequency microwave radiation from all sources, that state agencies start adding warnings concerning newborns, young children, and pregnant women, and that they ensure that any new wireless antenna installations that are located on private property should be placed away from residences, businesses, and schools. They encourage the deployment of fiber optic cables and wired connections, and they recommend that state agencies work with scientific experts to develop radio frequency radiation safety limits to protect trees, plants, birds, insects, and pollinators. I mean, guys, I want you to understand the importance of this report. We finally have one of the states in the U.S. putting out an official government report. You know, I know that a lot of people give that weight. We've already had evidence prior to this, but now we have one more little kind of arrow in our quiver to add when we're trying to educate people about this. When people want to dismiss it as just being fake news or, you know, you don't understand science, hey, well, now we can add to the legitimacy that there's one U.S. state. And that state wasn't just a bunch of politicians. It involved scientists and experts in these fields. And this came after a bill called HB 522 passed in 2019, which created this commission to study the environmental and health effects of 5G technology. And it involved several legislators who were also medical doctors and engineers, a scientist with expertise in electromagnetic radiation, a town council person, and representatives from the Attorney General's office and the Department of Health and Human Services, as well as the Department of Business and Economic Affairs. So it also included a few members, though, from the wireless industry, including the CTIA, which if you guys have watched my documentary or if you read my previous articles, you know that the CTIA, the Cellular Telephone Internet Association, is the largest wireless industry lobby in the United States, maybe in the world, and they are behind the global race to 5G. It's their marketing campaign that has been pushing 5G on people, and they're working with Verizon, they're working with T-Mobile and all those companies. So a member of the CTIA was part of the minority report. Basically, they were like, they didn't agree with this. And they claimed, oh, that according to the minority report, that the wireless technology is safe according to scientific consensus. And the majority report, however, documented substantial evidence, scientific evidence finding harmful health and environmental impacts. So this is a big thing. I think this is really a big thing that they were able to get this voted on and sent to the governor. Now, will anything happen? Probably not, because government doesn't really do anything. And because one of the other areas that Trump has not been working you out and helping you is he's been pushing the 5G rollout his entire presidency. I documented that extensively. You can go to theconsciousresistance.com and you can see, you know, my work on that. But so this is just another area that the Trump administration has helped propel 5G along. And now one state is calling this into question. The report also recommends that U.S. agencies coordinate to, quote, protect people, wildlife, and the environment from harmful levels of radiation, and states that, quote, until there is federal action, New Hampshire should take the initiative to protect its environment. The strongest call to action was a recommendation that a resolution be introduced to the U.S. House of Congress to require the FCC to commission an independent review of current radio frequency standards between the range of 300 megahertz to 300 gigahertz. And it's interesting. I noted that the 5G's commission, they said that their goal was to answer several questions about 5G. And these include, and these are questions that you guys should be asking. Ask your skeptical friends, ask them these questions, because these are facts that the New Hampshire Commission to Study 5G was just asking and trying to understand the answers to. Why are the FCC radio frequency exposure limits set for the United States 100 times higher than in countries like Russia, China, Italy, Switzerland, and most of Eastern Europe? Why have more than 220 of the world's leading scientists signed an appeal to the World Health Organization and United Nations to protect public health from wireless radiation, and nothing has been done? Why have the cumulative biological damaging effects of ever-growing number of pulse signals riding on the electromagnetic waves not been explored, especially as the world embraces the Internet of Things, meaning all devices being connected to by electromagnetic waves, and the exploration of the number of such pulse signals that will be created by the implementation of 5G. So they're basically saying, why are we not implementing this at a different level? Why are we not asking these questions? Why do some parts of the world have these protections and the United States doesn't? And the one final part I'll mention is that Dr. Deborah Davis, who is a great, great, powerful woman in this field, she's the president of the Environmental Health Trust. She said that, you know, that she thinks it's a historic and important document. And she also said that, you know, people need to reduce their exposure in light of growing body of evidence. She's recently published research documenting the scientific evidence, which indicates that radio frequency radiation is a possible human carcinogen, and also published a paper on cell phone radiation and colon cancer. So again, if this is all new to you, I have a lot of links in there. You can go there. You can read the New Hampshire report yourself and get all informed. You can go find the 5G Trojan horse at theconsciousresistance.com if that's brand new to you, and get informed. And also, again, all the articles that I'm covering tonight, guys, are listed at theconsciousresistance.com on the post for episode 116 of the Conscious Resistance Live. And I also saw a couple people asking on Facebook and on Float about my Patreon. I appreciate the question. If you want to support me via Patreon, come over here to theconsciousresistance.com, and you guys can see this logo right here, the Patreon logo that links to my Patreon account. It's just patreon.com/Derek Bros. If you want to support me on a monthly basis, that is much appreciated. And every one of the stories that we just covered tonight is listed here, all the sources. You don't have to trust me. I want you to think for yourself. I'm not here to tell you how to think. I'm here to try to inform you and educate you about stories that I think are important that are being ignored in the mainstream corporate deadstream media, and try to see how we can focus on solutions. I briefly mentioned Freedom Cells earlier. If Freedom Cells is a new idea to you, if you've never plugged into the Freedom Cell Network yet, please do. I was just on James Corbett's show the other day talking about Freedom Cells, talking about the Underground Railroad and what we're building. There's the potential for dark winter. There's still the potential for this with all this talk of COVID lockdowns and the vaccines are coming. You know, Trump saying there's going to be one before the end of the year. You better believe the Democrats, if they get into office, they're going to be pushing their vaccines and potential lockdowns and mask mandates. You need to start thinking ahead of how you're going to take care of your family, how you're going to take care of yourself, instead of being stuck in the system. If we allow ourselves to be sucked into their control grid, then friends, we are going to pay the price in the future. Not only us, but our family, the loved ones that are going to come after us, the coming generations up to the seven generation beyond. Please visit freedomcells.org. Join the website, fill out your profile, add your location, not your home address, but the town or city you live in. Come over here and search the member map, and you can find thousands of people. We have now close to 6,000 people from all around the world. We're definitely very active in the United States, but there are also people just all over the place, all over the globe, that have started to participate in the Freedom Cells movement. And these are people who are not just looking for another place to share cat videos and talk online, but people who are at the point in their lives where they're ready to get active and engaged. They're ready to start growing food together. They're ready to start, you know, thinking of how we're going to protect ourselves against mandatory vaccinations or against civil unrest, or how we just want to live better lives and thrive. Because I am not going to submit to the technocracy. I don't think most of you are going to submit to the technocracy and to giving up your individual liberty and having to have a immunity passport to travel, to go to a concert, to live, to breathe, or to prove your vaccination status. This is not the life that I want. And I know that most of you don't want that. So come here, search the individual map, the members map, search the cells map to find other cells. If there's no cells near you, create one. If you're on Telegram, you can click here and see the Telegram cells that we have. People are organizing on Telegram. But the goal is to start meeting in person. The website is just a kind of connecting point to get you a place where you can be connected with other people. You can start getting plugged in and start breaking free from the system. And I don't just say these as a kind of catchphrases. I have some people recently saying, what does that mean? It means pull out of the bank, pull your money out of the banks, support a local credit union, or support some sort of alternative currency, cryptocurrency, decentralized, localized currency, whatever. Just get your money out of their banking system, out of the Federal Reserve system. Start growing as much of your own food as possible. Join a community garden or a local farmer's market. Support them however you can. Get to know local farmers. You know, take your education into your own hands, unplug from the corporate media. There's so many things that we can do that seem like simple steps, and they are, and they're practical, but they lead to bigger changes. The more you get unplugged from their system, the less desire you have to be anywhere near it, the more freedom you see, the more beauty you see. And from there, we can create beautiful things. I mean, I know that not everybody is going to be coming to Mexico. I'm not asking everybody to come to Mexico, but Mexico has been a beautiful place for me to come connect and to meet like minds and to really focus on getting land. I am trying to build the Conscious Agora, a community out here that I think is going to become necessary. And I am also trying to build a network of free communities, of freedom cells and communities all over the US, all over Mexico, everywhere, so that when our brothers and sisters need help, we can support them. We don't have to just scrape by. We don't have to, you know, starve because now the technocracy says that if you don't have a vaccine, you can't go to the grocery store and get food. I want us to have our own parallel networks of food distribution and selling goods to each other and teaching each other and educating each other and living in harmony with the planet. What I'm showing you right now on screen, this is a picture from earlier today with some friends that have gathered in Morelia, where I'm living in Mexico with my partner, as some of you know. And we went on this beautiful hike. You see all these people hanging out, no social distancing, no mask. There's this awesome waterfall that we got to go visit today, a new waterfall. And, you know, it's a beautiful scene. And this is the kind of things I'm getting to do. I'm out here walking around with no mask, no lockdown, enjoying life with people, eating fresh organic fruit, supporting local entrepreneurs, spending cash, pulling myself further out of their grid while I look for land, so that if the shit does hit the fan in the US, there's somewhere beautiful to go to. There's somewhere to kind of hold down and you know, get to while we fight, because we're not just going to give up our liberties and give up our lives without putting up a fight. But at the same time, if we don't have anywhere to have as a home base to build from, then it's going to be dangerous. And many of you know also, we are doing Operation Underground Railroad, OPURR at protonmail.com. Somebody could type that in the chat. That'd be cool. If you're interested, contact us there. And let me just show you briefly. I don't want to show anybody's emails, but I have 130 emails right now that have all come in. This is just the last couple of days. These have all just come in. Even they're still coming in right now. that have just come in November 11th. This is all like, that's just the last couple of days of people who are interested in getting down to Mexico, not just from the US, but from other places, who are terrified of what's coming and who see what's coming and who want to have a game plan. We can't help everybody, but we want to help a lot of you. We want to work together. We want to make sure that whatever's coming on, that we can help as many powerful people as possible. If you want to come out here, get set up, we can help you get your own apartment, get your own house while you figure out what your next move is. We can connect you to other people who have projects going on. Maybe we can collaborate and work together. But the point is, it's time to be proactive. It's time to think about where we're headed, what mark we're going to leave, what our lives are going to mean, and what we're going to leave behind for the coming generations. So please, please, give that some thought. Consider whether or not you want to be involved with what we're doing. And even if you don't want to, if you're going to choose the holding down the fort aspect, wherever you're living, whether it's the UK, Australia, America, hold down the fort, talk to your neighbors, reject the authoritarians, build, exit from their systems, and let's create the next stage of humanity. Let's create something beautiful, my friends. I know it's possible, and I know we can do it, and I know that's exactly why we were put here. I believe the Creator has put me here for a reason, and I believe I'm living in line with that purpose. But I also know that each of you have a purpose, and I don't think our Creator wants us to sit around and to wait and to do nothing. I think our job is to be here. Our duty is to improve and to empower and to love and to help and heal our brothers and sisters. So that's what I'm here to do, guys, and I hope you will join me on that journey. My name is Derek Brose. This has been the Conscious Resistance Live, episode 115. You can find me at theconsciousresistance.com. You can find all of my content, my documentaries. You can download my books for free, and you can find all my alternative social networks there. We are going to end, as promised, with the first 5 minutes of the first episode of the Pyramid of Power documentary series, and this is on big education. Nobody else has seen this first, and it isn't totally complete yet, so I just want to share a little bit of it. And you'll notice the first 30 seconds, there's no video. It's just me narrating. We're working on that introduction. But I want you guys to see this. So please check this out. And I will talk to you next week, guys. As always, remember, you are powerful, you are beautiful, and you are free. Peace. Host a radio show, write books, and working as an investigative journalist over the last decade, my work has pushed me to host a radio show, write books, and produce numerous documentaries about the realities of child trafficking, the dangers of technology, and indigenous struggles. Now, I aim to uncover whether there is a network of individuals and institutions which ties all these issues together. Many researchers posit the existence of a global cartel that covertly manipulates the world for their own benefit. Are these claims simply fantasy and paranoid delusion? Or is there truly an agenda to subvert humanity to the demands of the Pyramid of Power? As we break down the pieces of this puzzle, I will share references and sources which are listed at thepyramidofpower.com. Please take what is presented in this series and continue your own research. Chapter 1. Big Education. Public schooling is a ritual that most children endure the most impressionable years of their lives. While the assumed goal of public education is to educate the children so that they become the doctors, teachers, artists, and leaders of the future, some suspect a more sinister agenda is at play.